With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Yo, it is another edition of Phillies Today. I'm your host, James Seltzer. It is Thursday, July the 19th, as we only have one more day before we get back to Phillies baseball, as there is one game tonight as the Cardinals and the Cubs will go at it as Major League Baseball will resume its season after the three-day All-Star break, but really a four-day All-Star break for most teams. The Phillies get back at it with the Padres tomorrow. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Obviously, the big news of the day when we spoke yesterday was seemed like it was going to happen, but there was still some hope, and a Steve Phillips report later in the day gave even more hope. But ultimately, the dream of getting Manny Machado for this season is over as he ends up going to the Dodgers. The Dodgers return five players for Manny Machado. The prize prospect of the deal, their outfielder, Yusniel Diaz, who has been outstanding for them. He is what many people describe, and again, this is always prospect, so who knows, but as a can't-miss prospect. So we'll see. We'll see how that plays out. Ultimately, it seems like a lot of people thought the Orioles did a good job in the package that they received. The other players in the deal: third baseman Rylan Bannon, right-handed pitcher Dean Kremer, right-handed pitcher Zach Pop, and second baseman Breivik Valera. Valera, the only one of those guys who is older and not really a potential type prospect, a guy with potential. He's more of an org guy who is in AAA, might be a utility guy potentially, but certainly Diaz, a real prize of the deal, had a couple home runs in the futures game. Look, it came down to a situation where ultimately the Orioles chose a higher end prospect than a quantity pack or a quantity of quality type package, where if the Phillies, and again, we don't ultimately know what the Phillies ultimately ended up offering. Jason Stark put out, it's impossible to say what an Orioles Phillies deal would have looked like, but the Orioles delved extensively into background work on Adam Haseley, Adonis Medina, Jojo Romero, and others. The Phillies could have matched the depth of the Dodgers offer, but not the upside of Diaz. So I think that's kind of what it came down to, was that ultimately a package that the Phillies would offer would have solid to very high-end or good prospects, but a guy like Diaz, who seems to be more of a sure thing than a pitching prospect, though. And Medina, for what it's worth, ranked on a lot of prospect sites as a higher prospect at the moment than Diaz. But Diaz, a legit prospect with what looks like a pretty low floor and a potentially high ceiling as well. So you can't blame the Orioles for going the way they went. Jeff Passan tweeted out, rarely is there a consensus in deals like this, but every evaluator of Vaz thinks Baltimore did well in the Manny Machado trade, and think with the strong market, the Brewers, the Phillies, the Diamondbacks, and others, and the deep system, the Dodgers could overpay. A mutually beneficial deal. And that's really what it comes down to, I think, for me, when you look at the situations of these two teams. The Dodgers were just willing to offer more because their window is a lot shorter than what this Phillies team's window is. The Phillies team is that we're looking at now is a team that, as we've talked about many times, is one that is ahead of schedule. They are contending at a faster rate than I think the organization expected, that I'm sure most Phillies fans expected, especially with the first week of Gabe Kapler's tenure as manager. But they are contending now. And they were in a place where obviously they got down to the final round of this Manny Machado thing. It really does seem like the Brewers weren't there as much as the Phillies and the Dodgers, and it came down to these two teams, and the Dodgers were just willing to give up more. It Manny Machado for 2 months, and the likelihood that they don't re-sign him, when you look at how their team is structured, when you look at Corey Seager coming back next season, their long-term answer at shortstop, and Machado, for what it's worth, wanting to play shortstop, but also with Justin Turner at third base, they have a lot of guys at those positions. Chris Taylor in the infield, who could play outfield as well, but they're kind of stacked, and look, that's not a reason to not re-sign Manny Machado, but they are committed a lot of money, and it would put them well over the luxury tax to sign Machado to a long-term deal. So not saying it can't happen, but I certainly think that the Phillies have a real chance to get Manny Machado this offseason. And I would still say, based on what we've heard about Middleton's aggressiveness, the amount of money the Phillies can afford to spend, is they only have $64 million on the books. They've got Odubel Herrera. They've got Jake Arrieta. They got Carlos Santana. And then pretty much, you know, a couple reliever contracts. And then everyone else is on their rookie deals or an arbitration or whatever. So they really have a lot of room to maneuver, and as we heard the Jerry Krasnick report, the Phillies want to go after, Middleton wants to, might go after both Machado and Harper this offseason. I believe that they are bigger fans of Machado than Harper, at least that's the way it seems, that the organization that is in place for the Phillies is the same group of guys that drafted Machado. They scouted him, they developed him, so you can understand why they feel ownership over him. I'll get into the Harper versus Machado thing in a couple, because I don't know if I agree, but as is the case here, the Phillies did get down to the last round. You know, I think they deserve credit for being willing to give up a fair amount for what is potentially a 2 month rental. And when you look at what the Dodgers package came out to be, and obviously it's not like we've seen a lot of these guys or we can really talk to how great they are or who they're going to be, at least taking what you read and what you see online and the videos you can watch and all that stuff, it does seem like they did well, as we just kind of mentioned. So I'm okay. Yesterday I said that it had gotten to the point where I originally started out with the whole Manny Machado thing, saying I'm fine if they don't get him for 2 months. I think they're going to have a really good chance to sign him this offseason no matter what, because Middleton's going to pony up the money, and I think Machado would like to come here. I don't see any reason why he wouldn't, but more so, I think Middleton's going to open up the wallet for one of these guys, or both, or who knows, but I think Machado's their target for sure. So for that reason alone, you look at it, what the Dodgers gave up for a potential two-month rental, I'm even though I had gotten to the point where, even after my initial feeling of them not wanting them to trade for him, when it got so close and Sixto Sanchez was not in the deal and it was, you know, maybe too much from a prospect perspective for rental, but you get so close to the idea of having Manny Machado here and showing him how great it is and being part of a pennant run and the city and the fan base, and he'd want to stay and it'd just be a more of a guarantee. So I got to the point where I was ready for it to go, and I thought I would be incredibly disappointed when they didn't get him. And I certainly had a pang of disappointment, as I had already in my mind outfitted the batting order with Manny Machado right in the middle of it in my head and thought about it far too much. But again, when you see the package and you see what the Dodgers were willing to give up, I think you have to feel okay with what the Phillies did. And I think you have to appreciate the restraint that they showed here, because, you know, again, for all the reasons I mentioned, I'm sure they wanted to go get Manny Machado too. And to be able to hold back and pull back and not overpay or what could have been a real overpay, I think that is a fair and wise way of going about it. Again, I think we're all disappointed Manny's not going to be here, but again, I really think there's a real chance he's going to be here in the offseason. But regardless, you look at, I think there are some real obvious takeaways from this, and coming up, we'll look at the backup plans now, is we have to move on. It's time to move on for this season, because as I said yesterday, when it felt like Machado was going to be gone, but we weren't sure about it, I said that the Phillies are going to have backup plans, and I still believe that Matt Klentak is going to be aggressive out there. I think he's going to try and supplement this team any way he can. And just because they couldn't get Manny Machado doesn't mean they're not going to go out and help this team. So we'll get to some of those backup plans coming up in a little bit. But a couple thoughts on the Machado deal and whatnot. First and foremost, I think the biggest thing you think about is the ramifications on the National League, which is awesome because we're only thinking about that because the Phillies are contending for it. But look, I think it certainly makes the Dodgers better. They were already a good team. They had, you know, finally crept back into first place heading into the All-Star break there. And if they have a healthy Clayton Kershaw, which he hasn't looked like Clayton Kershaw since coming back, but that potential is obviously still there in spades. Adding a guy like Machado to that lineup is obviously an imposing thing to think about, but at the same time, as we've seen many times in baseball, going out and adding a star doesn't always put a team over the top. It certainly can, but I'm hesitant to say that the NL is over. But, you know, to be fair, I think adding Machado would make the Dodgers the favorite at the moment in my mind. So there are certainly ramifications there. And again, you know, look, the free agency thing is interesting because I think Manny's going to test the waters no matter what. And I think the Phillies will give him a real offer. And as far as the other part of this that I think is at least somewhat helpful for the Phillies here is that the Orioles decided to do this over the All-Star break instead of waiting till the last minute, waiting till the 31st till the deadline. And, totally get it from their perspective. They don't want to potentially get the opportunities for Machado to get hurt over the All-Star break, being kind of a clean break there, pardon the pun, and allow it to kind of move forward in a better way with, letting Manny move on and all that stuff. Well, it feels like a natural spot, but at the same time, you're not risking him getting hurt. And I don't know if the packages get much better by the time the deadline's here in less than 2 weeks. I think it's negligible at best, and the risk is too great to play Machado over that time. So I had no problem with them doing it. But I think the fact the Phillies didn't get him, it is a help to them that the Orioles did it, because it gives Matt Klentak still almost 2 weeks to adjust and look, I think they had backup plans already. Obviously, it wasn't like they were putting all their eggs in the Manny Machado basket, or you would hope not, at least, right? But I think that having this time to step back and reassess the board and say, all right, we didn't get Manny. Let's look at this. Let's look at that. And we could do this. And now we don't have to give up this prospect. Maybe we can give up, this lesser prospect for this. And it really they have time, is what I'm saying. If this trade goes down the 31st and they're wrapped up in this and the assets are the 30th, they have no time to adjust, no time to make a counter move. And now they can. And I think that is huge. So I thank you to the Orioles at least for that. As for the Harper Machado thing I mentioned before, really quickly, because it came up a fair amount on sports radio this week and in other spots with the whole Machado to the Phillies being a realistic possibility, bad at times we thought a probability, but also the idea of signing Machado long-term and all that. And of course, then Harper comes up. And when we heard the Middleton thing about trying to get both potentially, Harper's name gets put in the conversation. And I think there are probably a lot of people who think that Machado is a better long-term option. And I would be one of the people in the other camp. I think that if I could only sign one of those two guys to a 10-year contract or whatever, I would sign Bryce Harper. And I know that that we don't really like him that much in Philly because he's a knucklehead and he's kind of a jerk, it seems, and all that. But I think that purely from a baseball perspective, look, Machado is a below average shortstop, well below, and a way above average third baseman. So let's consider him that he would move to third base eventually and not demote him too much for the shortstop. A above average third baseman like Machado is obviously a really valuable asset, but at the same time, Harper is a outstanding outfielder. And the bigger thing is that I think that Harper ages better from a body perspective. Machado is a big dude and, you know, a lumbering kind of guy and bad knees and that type of stuff in the infield at the hot corner is a lot tougher to maintain long term than kind of grazing around in the outfield. And then on top of that, again, from a purely baseball perspective, I just think Bryce Harper has a higher ceiling than Manny Machado. Machado's a great player, but Bryce Harper's ceiling is he can be the best player in baseball. You know, obviously Mike Trout is bar none the best player in baseball, and I think potentially the second best player I've ever seen in my lifetime after Barry Bonds. But Bryce Harper can be right there with Mike Trout when he's at his best. I mean, you look at the season he had, his MVP season as a 22-year-old. He hit 42 home runs with an 1109 OPS as a 22-year-old. I mean, that is absolutely unheard of. Look, I want both of these guys, or either or, I'd be happy. But for me, and I know it's probably the less popular opinion right now in Philly, I would rather have Bryce Harper. So I think that's a fun debate and certainly one we're going to have this offseason. So I'm looking forward to that as well. All right, coming up, we will discuss some backup plans. As we mentioned a couple yesterday when it looked like it might not happen or wasn't going to happen, but we didn't dive deep enough in as still holding out hope. We'll look ahead to that and a whole lot more coming up. It's Phillies Today. It's James Seltzer. We're coming right back. We are back. It is Phillies Today. James Seltzer, as we deal with the loss of the Manny we never had, as Manny Machado to the Dodgers. The Phillies now will have to regroup and reassess and look at some backup plans. We've already heard a few names back in the rumor mill again, as Mike Moustakas and Eduardo Escobar seem to be the two names that are filtering about the most. I think Moustakas obviously makes a ton of sense. A power left-handed batter who can play third base. Last year of his contract, he had 38 home runs last year. I think he has 19 or 20 already. I think 19 maybe this season. He's been really good, and he's he's the kind of guy who can add a something to this team they don't have, and a real left-handed power bat. I like Nick Williams, obviously, but Moustakas, I think, makes a lot of sense, and I think he won't cost much. Again, on the last year of his deal, the Royals don't have a ton of leverage with him. Maybe there'll be some other teams involved, but I don't think you have to give up too much. Certainly nothing close to Machado. So I think those are two names. Eduardo Escobar, a really nice player for the Twins, though, kind of a bust out year for him at the age of 29, I believe. So that's a little something to be a little leery of, but he's been great this year. I think he's one of the in the top five in extra base hits, maybe. I mean, he's been really, really good and can play short or third, which is obviously positions of need for this team. I wouldn't say he's a stellar fielder, but certainly can get the job done. But a couple other names we've seen. Adrian Beltre, of course, was mentioned earlier in the season as a potential target. Beltre, in the same vein as Moustakas, at least positionally, it makes a ton of sense. But I love the idea of Beltre, as I've said, I think, numerous times, that a guy who, again, sure, could have some injury issues. He's dealt with a couple injuries over the last few years, but every time he's been on the field, he's been awesome. He bats around 300. He gives you a touch of pop, and he's going to play a stellar Gold Glove caliber third base, even at his age. So I really like the idea of Beltre, especially because if a guy like that comes in and they just they have a gravitas about them that makes a difference in a locker room, as we've heard players say about Arrieta and Santana. Bringing in a guy like that who is a first ballot Hall of Famer probably adds any more than either of those guys. So I think Beltre really a fun option potentially coming from Rangers team that's out of it, of course. Whit Merrifield, another name we've heard, Royals again. That one never made as much sense to me because Merrifield is signed to a contract for the next few years at an affordable price. So I was kind of surprised by that. But look, if the Phillies can get him without giving up too much, I really like the concept. I think that one's a less likely one. And then a name that I'm surprised we haven't heard more from. He's been hurt here and there, but Josh Donaldson in Toronto, a free agent at the end of the year. No reason for the flailing Blue Jays to hang on to him. So Donaldson, I think, a name that we haven't heard much about, but theoretically could be something or someone who gets moved at the deadline. It'll be interesting to see if there are any other names of bats that come out. Eugenio Suarez of the Reds is a third baseman who's been great this year, an all-star. I don't know if they're looking to move him, but potentially could be a someone who could help the Phillies. There are some names out there, and I think the Phillies are going to go out and try and be aggressive and upgrade their roster from an offensive perspective. And I also think they're going to upgrade their roster from a bullpen perspective. I know there have been some rumors lately about the starting pitching market for the Phillies. Cole Hamels, Jay Happ, both names that have been bandied about. Happ connected to the Phillies by a report. I would be surprised if that's their target. I don't know if Jay Happ is he'd probably be a better option than Vincent Velasquez, but I don't know if he's a much better option. And I wouldn't take him over the other four guys. I know Arrieta hasn't been great, but you know he's not starting over Arrieta right now, at least. I mean, look, he would in terms of the way he's performing, but I think that ultimately Arrieta will get back to at least a level where he's better than Jay Happ. And look, Happ has been good this year, so I think that I wouldn't be upset if they got him. I just don't want them to give up too much. He is in the last year of his deal. Hamels has been worse than Happ this year. And, I think he could be had for a song, $20 million owed potentially for next year if he tries to force the team to pick up his option. So, I don't think those make a lot of sense, but we'll see. I think the relief pitcher market is the one we really have to pay attention to. Brad Hand has obviously been the prize of the market, as his name has been talked about a lot with a number of teams. The Indians, it seems, potentially the most interested in acquiring Hand. Either way, Hand signed for three more years, so he won't come cheap. As a left-handed ace-like reliever with a lot of closing experience now, or a fair amount of it, he is someone who will not be cheap. So at the same time, he's someone who I think is worth the price for the cost control that he's at. Kind of like Andrew Miller was traded a few years ago to the Indians and made such a big difference. And at the time, the people thought the Indians gave up too much for a reliever there, and then Francona kind of changed the mold. I think that Hand isn't quite as good as Miller was then, but he is a really, really great left-handed reliever, one of the best in baseball. And to pair him with Sir Anthony for the next 3 years, that could be a really devastating combination for this Phillies team that I think could, depending on what the cause is, ultimately be worth it. Some other names, Zach Britton has been connected to the Phillies. He's looked a little bit better as of late. I would be fine with that. It's a guy who you can at least throw in the ninth and feel somewhat confident if he's healthy and get the job done. Raisel Iglesias, I haven't heard his name thrown around, the closer for the Reds, but he's someone I would target. He's an outstanding pitcher, but I think the Reds might still have plans to make him a starter someday. He was a starter before, so maybe less inclined to move him than some of the other guys. Rattling off some names, Joaquim Soria, I think, is very available for the White Sox. He's been very good, has closing experience. Fernando Rodney, same type of guy, but with Minnesota. Ronnie having another great year. I'm done doubting him. Keona Kella, the Rangers closer. I don't know if they're looking to move him, but it would make sense theoretically. And then Jarris Mueller, the other closer for the Mets. The Phillies have been linked to him as well. And then some non-close. Oh, and Kyle Barraclough as well in Miami could certainly be had as he's their closer now, but he's not someone who's a like lockdown, shutdown type closer, but a nice arm nonetheless. Some other guys who aren't closers or have been closers at times this season due to injury or whatever, but are just nice arms that the Phillies could potentially be involved in just to kind of supplement the pen in spots are guys like Michael Givens and Brad Brock in Baltimore. Maybe they swing a deal for Britton and someone else there, unless they're too spurned by the Orioles. Sergio Romo in Tampa, Tyler Clippard in Toronto, Robert Gzelman and Anthony Swarzak in New York, the Mets. I think these are all guys who get moved. And then Kirby Yates along with Brad Hand in San Diego. Yates, a really good right-handed reliever. I think all those guys could potentially be on the move and more, look, and more. So it's going to be a really fun, exciting trade deadline. I know the Machado of it all is such a bummer. But look, it's going to be fun, and the Phillies are going to be in it. So it's going to be fun to talk about. A lot coming up. Real quick, before we get out of here, quick note. Rob Manfred was wrong for calling out Mike Trout. And if you didn't see it, he called out Mike Trout, essentially saying something to the effect of he wants to market Mike Trout more, but Mike's not helping him enough. He's not doing enough to do it. And it felt like Manfred, and I've liked a lot of what Manfred's done so far, but just to call out the best player in your sport like that publicly, it just seemed wrong to me. It seemed like he didn't want to take the criticism anymore, and he was just pushing it off on Trout, a guy who again, is not out there because it seems like he wants to work on his craft and get better at baseball and maybe just isn't a public persona type person. And I'm sure you have some obligation as a star to do something, but at the same time, we're human beings. And I just thought it was out of bounds. Look it up if you get a chance. The Angels came out and defended Trout. Smart move by them. But, I thought it was interesting that Manfred took a shot like that. And it's interesting. It's an interesting thing to discuss, especially as Trout's such a great, great player. All right, coming up tomorrow, we will dive into the Phillies' upcoming schedule. The Padres come into town. Then the Dodgers, about as hyped up a series at Citizens Bank Park as I can remember in a while. Chase Utley, of course, retired at the end of the season, his last time in Philly. And, of course, Manny Machado. So it'll be crazy. So all that more coming up tomorrow. But otherwise, keep it here. We got you covered all day long right here on the Phillies 24/7 Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.